You are listening to a sermon from MCA Church. To learn more about our community, head online to mcachurch.ca. Thanks.
You ready to hear from God's word? We're going to hear a word from the Lord this morning. And Lord knows that we need to hear his word and be reminded of who we are. Well, first we'll begin with this. What's the longest you have waited in line to get into a store this past month? Last week, I waited an hour. It was painful to get into a store. The store will remain anonymous. The line was serpentine. It was filled with people. And there were, you could just feel the suspicion. Everyone was making sure that everyone else was 6 feet apart. And while it was painful to wait so long, I never had so much joy entering into a store. I just wanted to raise my hands, walk through the threshold, and just say, yes, I now get to buy what I'm here for. But I didn't, because I know that people would have gotten really jealous. I kind of felt like Littlefoot running into Green Valley. If you've ever watched the movie, the groundbreaking movie, The Land Before Time. Later, after my shop, I ended up talking to the manager of the store. And he began to tell me how hard it has been. We sometimes don't realize how hard retail is. He said, Marcus, the customers are getting so impatient, so demanding, so unreasonable. Some of them are starting to yell. And it has been so hard to take that in. I have been wrestling with anger. And Marcus, you know me. You know how chill I am. You know how relaxed I am. In fact, I've had so much anger, I've had to actually take a few days off. I've had to take a little leave of absence. It's just been crazy. He mentioned one scenario where a customer was yelling at him and berating him in front of customers and other employees because they had run out of hand sanitizer and they were only able to use hand wipes. And so this customer was just yelling, this is unacceptable. You should have hand sanitizer. He's just going nuts. And he's just taking that in. And so as he was sharing that story and others, he just kind of ended the conversation. He just said, Marcus, I don't know what I'm doing anymore. And as he shared that story with me, I just felt my heart nodding. I could relate. And I wonder if you can relate to that. He was trying to articulate something that many of us feel in this time, this sense of disorientation, the sense of something lost, the sense of us kind of being strangers to ourselves. But if we dig a little bit deeper, it's not that we don't know what we're doing. We know what we're doing. We know we have to shop. We know we have to buy groceries. We know we have to wash our hands and not touch our eyes. We know we have to brush our teeth. We know the things we need to do. So it's not that we don't know what we're doing, but it's that we've lost something. We've lost the thing that puts everything together, the thing that gave everything a unified meaning in our lives. Many of us have kind of lost our grip on our identity. We're living in a time when so many people don't know who they are. And so it's in this time that we're going through this sermon series on who we are in Christ, true north. This is what it means to be a Christian. And so 2 weeks ago, Keith launched us into the series and reminded us that in Christ, we are a new creation. And he walked us through the gospel story of Zacchaeus. And then last week, Brendan focused our attention on Peter walking on water. And he reminded us that in Christ, we faith. In Christ, we trust him. We take steps of faith towards Jesus. We take risks for the kingdom. And this morning, I want to declare to you a third truth about your identity in Jesus. And that is, if you are in Christ, you are holy. In Christ, you are holy. And this morning, I want to unpack that part of our identity in Christ in three ways. I want to look at three dimensions. We're going to look at you are holy. We're going to look at you are being made holy. And then we're going to look at be holy because God is holy. We're going to begin our time in the letter of 1 Corinthians. So if you've got your Bibles, you can open there. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. It's also going to be on the screen. And this is Paul writing to the Corinthians. And we're gonna begin in the opening of the letter here. And so listen to how he begins his letter. Listen to how he begins to pastor his flock. He says, "Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be his holy people, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours." Paul wrote this letter 3 years after he had planted the church in Corinth. And so over the course of 3 years, Paul had learned that the Corinthian church had kind of lost their way. They kind of forgot their identity in Christ. And so they were looking more like the surrounding culture than they did like Jesus. And so Paul, as he's opening up the letter, you can kind of feel him grabbing the church by the shoulders, by the heart, and just saying, remember who you are. Remember your identity. And you see that. So after introducing himself, which is customary for the ancient letter writing practices of the day, he goes into a physical address. Now, this is interesting here. I was reading the commentaries, and while the NIV translates the very first part of the address to the Christians in Corinth, some of the earliest manuscripts don't begin with that physical address. They actually begin with the spiritual address to those being sanctified in Christ Jesus. That's the first word that Paul says about them. You have been sanctified. So Paul breaks with the letter writing conventions of his day because he cares more about their identity than their geography. The first thing that Paul wants to say about them is who they are in Jesus. And as I've been preparing a sermon for us in the past few weeks, I've sensed God's heart being the same for us, that he wants you to know your identity in Christ, that you have been sanctified, that you are called holy when you're in a relationship with Jesus. Whoever you are, wherever you are, if you are in Christ, if you're under his leadership and lordship, you are holy. You are holy. Now, if you know anything about the Corinthian church, you might be wondering why Paul is being so generous with his words. The Corinthians look so much like the Greco-Roman culture and not so much like Jesus. You can read through the letter, and what you find is factions and rivalries, pride and sexual immorality, lawsuits between believers and selfishness, and the list goes on. And it makes me wonder if when the Corinthians heard this letter being read out, and they heard Paul addressing them as, you are sanctified, you are called holy, I wonder how it landed for them, how it felt, what they thought. And I wonder this morning, when you hear that, when I declare the gospel truth that in Christ you are holy, what is your immediate reaction? What do you feel? What do you think? As I've been speaking this truth over myself the past few weeks, Marcus, in Christ you are holy, I found myself resisting that. It kind of sounds like a description more for Mother Teresa than it does for me. And that's because I know all the chapters of my own sin in my life and in my heart. And I could just guess the kind of resistance that you might feel when I proclaim to you that if you're in Christ, you are holy. Marcus, I'm not holy. I keep going to stuff online and I know I shouldn't be looking at it. And it's just, you know what, I don't feel holy. I feel kind of shameful. I feel kind of dirty. I don't feel holy. Or I think of parents and, you know, you're struggling to raise your kids and schooling and keep the house clean and all that crazy stuff. You maybe feel like you're a failure, like you're not a good parent. And you can't really identify with that sense of like, I am holy. Or maybe you haven't read the scriptures for a long time, or you haven't prayed for forever, and you just feel so distant from God. And so when you hear it proclaimed that in Christ you are holy, you say, no, I may be lazy, or maybe I'm listless or aimless or coasting or whatever, but I just don't resonate with that. I'm not holy. However you might push back against this truth of your identity in Christ, I want to ask you this. Says who? Says who? Who says you, someone in Christ, is not holy? And who says I am not holy because I'm in Christ? Is it the Father's voice denying your identity in Jesus? Or could it be that the ears of your heart are so often captive to other voices, right? The voice of the culture, the voice of the world, the voice of your shame, the voice of the enemy, the voice of your self-doubt. And your heart's ear is so filled with those other voices that you miss the voice of the Father and who He says you are. I remember back after my first year of college, it's 1998. I remember getting out of my car. It was a wood-paneled station wagon with the seats in the back where you could look back. And it's a glorious car. They don't make them anymore. But I got out of that beautiful car, and I was walking to the front door of the house along this long path. And at the end of the path, on the steps, my dad was waiting for me. He was standing there. And I remember I was like 30 feet away from my dad, and he spoke 6 words to me that I haven't forgotten in 22 years. And that's crazy, because in 22 years, I've heard millions of words spoken to me. But somehow I have not forgotten these 6 words. And these words from my Father went into my soul like rebar goes into concrete. And in that moment, my Father looked at me, looked into my eyes, and He said, "Son, stand tall, you're a Schmalling." And it just went into me. It was incredible. My Father was reminding me of my stature as His son. And that is what your Heavenly Father wants to do this morning. If you are in Christ, then your Heavenly Father looks at you just as you are, and He says, "Daughter, stand tall, you are holy." And my son, stand tall. You are holy. You are set apart. But what does it mean to be holy? What does it mean to be set apart? What is all this about? It means so many things in the scriptures, and I can't unpack it all. I wouldn't even know how, but I just want to look at 2 aspects. What does it mean to be holy? Well, when you're in Christ, you become righteous, holy, pure in God's sight. Paul will write at the end of chapter 1, verse 30, "It is because of God that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God." That is, Jesus is our righteousness. Jesus is our holiness. Jesus is our redemption. No matter how we feel, no matter how many times we fall or fumble, if we are in Christ, we remain in His righteousness and holiness. This is our unshakable position and status before God. We are always in Christ's righteousness. But it's more than that. Christ's righteousness is also in us. And you see different biblical authors trying to articulate this incredible good news, and so they'll grasp after different metaphors. And so you hear talk of, you know, being born again, or that you're a new creation, or that, you know, in Jesus, you're given a new heart, a heart of flesh. So let that sink in. You are not the same before you met Christ. You are new. You're holy. And secondly, holiness means that you have been sanctified. When you are in Christ, you have been sanctified by God. This word literally means to be set apart for God and His purposes. And that word has a lot of rich imagery out of the Old Testament. And there you have all these different passages of God taking ordinary things like utensils and clothing and land and people, and then setting them apart to be exclusively used for Him. And that's what Paul has in mind when he thinks about our identity in Christ. Us being holy means God has chosen us and He set us apart, and now we're dedicated to Him and we live for Him. Now, of course, our experience shows us all too painfully that we don't always act this out. We're not always righteous, right? We don't always live for God. And that's why when it comes to being holy, it's not just enough for us to say that we are holy. While that is true, that our identity in Christ means that we are holy, there's also this truth that we are being made holy. And so let's look at 1 Corinthians 6, verses 11 and then 19 to 20. 1 Corinthians 6, 11, 19, and 20. So Paul talks about here in this chapter 6 about how you were once one thing. This is your past. You used to be a sinner, but now something has happened. You are different. And this is where we come into the text. So that is what some of you were, but you're different now. You were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. And let me go over verses 19 and 20. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. So there's that word again in verse 11, sanctified. In the Greek, it's hagiadzo. It means to be made holy, set apart. And in here, as well as in chapter 1, it's in the passive voice, meaning we don't set ourselves apart. We're passive. God is the agent. God is the one that sets us apart. God chooses us. God sets us apart. God sanctifies us. And when He sets us apart, He gives us the Holy Spirit, and now we're indwelled by the Spirit. And this is in part what makes us holy in Christ, that we have the Spirit. And yet, it's so easy to forget that when we're in Christ, we actually have the Holy Spirit in us. And so you see Paul reminding the Corinthians. He says, don't you know? Have you forgotten that your bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received? And he says it twice. He says, the Spirit is in you. You have received the Spirit from God. And being the temple of God doesn't mean you have to do 25 push-ups for 25 days. Some people think, oh, you know, the body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, so we got to get jacked for Jesus, okay? That's not what Paul's talking about here, okay? Exercise is valuable. But Paul's talking about our identity, that we are no longer our own. This is an incredible verse. You and I have been bought at a price, and that price was the very blood of the Son of God dying on a cross for our sins. And He bought us on the cross so that you and I would no longer live for ourselves, but by the help of the Holy Spirit in us, we would live for Jesus and His kingdom, that we would be set apart in our living. What does the Holy Spirit do in us as He indwells us? Does He just sit on the couch? No, He is always at work. The Holy Spirit is always at work in your life, making you holy. He's constantly at work, seeking to move us from spiritual infancy to spiritual maturity. He's always working, making us more and more like Jesus. And that's the mysterious tension of being in Christ, that we're at the same time holy and being made holy. Both are true. Both are the gracious working of God in our lives. Both of those are facts. You are holy. You are being made holy. But then this third truth of be holy because I am holy. Be holy because the Lord is holy. Our first two truths are God's work. And then this third truth is where we get to participate and cooperate. There's this command. There's this invitation. He says, be holy. And you see that throughout the scriptures. And this process of us becoming more like Jesus, the word in the Bible for that is sanctification. And it begins with God, but it's not just that. So I was thinking about it. It's not just that we begin with God and like a kid on the bike, you know, He just pushes us off and He says, good luck, you can do this. You know, training wheels are gone. Every step of the way from beginning and middle to end, God is involved by His Spirit in us becoming holy as we seek out to be holy. And God wants us to be holy because He is holy, and he wants us to be like himself. The Father wants his children to reflect his character in the world. To close our message, I want to look at holiness at play in the story of Jesus calling Peter. And as I was thinking about it, you know, it's the calling, it's Jesus calling his first disciples, but in a way, it's Jesus setting apart Peter to be his instrument, to be his servant, to share the gospel, to live the gospel into the world. And so we're going to go to Luke chapter 5 to finish our time together. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. This amazing story of Jesus getting a hold of Peter. Okay, you guys ready? Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. Jesus calls his first disciples. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and he taught the people from the boat. And when Jesus had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, we'll let down our nets." And when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees right there in the boat. He cries out, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were just astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. And then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed Jesus. I'm just going to say four things about this text. In this whole episode, number one, in this whole episode, Jesus is the one in control. He initiates all the action of the other people is just a response to what Jesus is doing and saying. And so it is with holiness. By his Spirit, Jesus initiates holiness in our lives, and we just respond. And so Paul will say we need to keep in step with the Spirit. That's Galatians 5:25. The second thing is that the Holy Spirit reveals Jesus' holiness. Okay, the Holy Spirit reveals Jesus' character to us. So I'm not sure what you thought about this part of the story, but when we hear Peter's response to the big catch of fish, I find it kind of weird. I know that when I do something big and powerful with my boys, like say I were to do like 40 chin-ups in our tree in the backyard, which I can't do, but if I were to do it, this incredible feat of strength, my boys would be like, "Oh, you're amazing, this is incredible." They wouldn't be like, "Get away from me, Dad, we're a bunch of sinners." It's kind of a strange response to a demonstration of power that Peter would say, "Ah, get away from me, Jesus, I am a sinful man." Well, what's happening here? Well, the Spirit of God is at work. The Holy Spirit is a huge theme in the Gospel of Luke. And so through this miraculous catch of fish, the Holy Spirit has revealed the holiness of Jesus to Peter. And in that light of Jesus' holiness, Peter is kind of undone. And he's convicted of his sin. He just knows he's unworthy to be in Jesus' presence. And this is a pattern for you and I, that the Holy Spirit reveals Jesus' holiness in us. The Holy Spirit will call to mind Jesus' patience, his sacrificial love, his kindness, his joy, the very holiness of Jesus. And when that happens, we get convicted. We get a sense of the distance between our character and Jesus' character. And when this happens, we need to recognize that this conviction is an invitation to more of Jesus, to become more like Jesus. The Spirit is always making us holy. So may we keep in step with Him. Number three, holiness means being your true self. When Jesus casts the vision of who Peter will become, when Peter joins his life to Jesus, look how he describes it. He says, from now on, you're going to fish for people. And what I hear in Jesus' words is a validation of who Peter is. He's a fisherman. And that Peter won't have to pretend to be someone he's not as he follows Jesus. He doesn't have to pretend he's a carpenter or he's a politician or a tax collector. He's a fisherman. And I wonder if you have, because I have when I was younger, feared becoming holy, feared becoming like Jesus because you thought it meant you had to be someone else. Oh, well, that's them being holy. Well, I can never do that. I remember my brother, when he got saved when I was in junior high, he plastered scriptures all over our ceiling and walls. And I was like, if that's what it means to follow Jesus, I can't do that. But that was what holiness was looking like in his life, right? Jesus at work through Steph and his personality. Well, there's this old Jewish story that I love, and it tells of a wise rabbi named Zusia who spoke about this concern of becoming holy and also what does it mean for our personality. And he says this, in the coming world, you know, when the kingdom comes in fullness and we meet God, he's not going to say to us, you know, Marcus, why weren't you more like Moses? He's going to say, Marcus, why weren't you more like Marcus, the Marcus I created you to be? So you don't need to be someone else when you are in Christ. You can be yourself in Christ, and he will make you the best version of yourself. And lastly, number four, we grow in holiness through obedience. The story tells us that they pulled up their boats, they left everything, and they followed Jesus. Jesus didn't force Peter to abandon everything. Jesus called Peter to himself, and then Peter had a choice to obey or not to obey. And this was the first of many steps of obedience in Peter's life as he learned to follow Jesus and obey Jesus. And so it is with you and I. As we grow in holiness, it's step by step. It's one act of obedience followed by another, the Holy Spirit helping us the whole way. And so let me wrap this up just by, again, declaring this identity that you have in Christ. It's been given to you. It is based upon the work of Christ that God makes come alive in you by His Spirit, that you are holy, and that right now you are being made holy. And then be holy, because God is holy. Amen.